Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. Good Morning Football podcast time, post-draft wrap-up, and into the off-season we go, but not so fast because a lot went down. Peter Schrager, hi.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Kyle Brandt.
What's up, Kay?
Hey.
Hey, now.
Hey, now. Burleson.
What's going on, Kay? How are you doing?
Burleson, can I ask you something?
Kay, can I ask you something
no.
before you ask me something?
I don't like when
nope.
you ask me anything.
Nope. Here's the thing. You always start off by asking us questions.
Were
hey, guys, can I take the point on this?
Were you approached by TMZ on the street outside Whoa. Of our studio?
I was, and he tried to pepper me with
what?
So many controversial questions.
And did you think it was okay to not tell your family about this?
Wait, when did this happen?
This is great.
This what was like last me? Week, and the guy was like, hey, what's up, man?
They always are.
Burleson standing out on 57th Street talking about McCaffrey and Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah. Did he know
to TMZ?
Did they were waiting for you, or just outside CBS? Like, what's the
yeah,
scene?
Yeah, I think that the scene was, there were some auditions going on for NFL Today, and there must have been word that there was a couple of athletes that were here interviewing for the job. And I think he just stumbled upon me. He wasn't like he was waiting for me. But he said, let me take advantage of the situation. He's like, hey, Nate, what's up? And I already knew once the camera was there. And they always start with a light question. Hey, what do you think about McCaffrey? I'm like, oh, yeah, he's good. He's versatile, man. We love him on the show. He's going to be awesome.
And then they hit
career.
You with the hammer. What'd they
he's
ask?
He's like,
yeah.
What do you think about Kaepernick? Are they blackballing him?
Oh, yeah.
What about Ray Rice?
What about Trump?
What are you doing? What are you thinking?
Ray Rice.
And I was like, man, listen, I'm not in position of decision making. I'm just here to talk about football. And I said, but there's certain things we have a zero tolerance for. And he's like, well, what do you think about Hernandez? And I was like, man, you're trying
oh
to get a
goodness.
Hot take right now, man. Relax. And I said, well, you know, domestic violence and murder, it's hard to tolerate in our business. And that's basically what I said.
It's always one more question. One more, one more, one
that.
More.
Well, it's because it wasn't really anything too serious. They were looking for somebody to get caught off guard and say something wrong. So they can blast it.
Do they say, hi, I'm Joe with TMZ? That's what I don't understand.
No, they didn't.
Does the camera say TMZ on it? I've never seen these cameras.
I don't know. I see them all the time at the LAX baggage claim. There's tons of them there. It's just some dude with a little camera. There's no signage. They don't identify themselves. They just walk right up and start talking.
There's a couple of good ones, though. There's a couple of good guys that will hit you up, and they'll say, hey, I got a couple questions. Here's the questions. I like that versus the other guys. Like, can I ask you some questions?
Yeah.
And they always, like, sandwich the hot take ones in the middle. But, yeah, it wasn't that serious.
TMZ wasn't at the draft, but you were recognized everywhere that you went and signed so many autographs and made so many people's day. It was unbelievable.
Thanks, Kay. Speaking of recognition,
oh,
so
yeah, what do we got?
Right, now, you know, you're our sister, right? So we can talk freely, and we can also compliment
I'm
you.
I'm pleading the fifth here. I'm going to take a back
you hate
and listen
taking
to
compliments.
Going.
So let's just say this. So we were getting ready for the red carpet.
Good at it. Go on.
And everybody was there to show up and show out. The young rookies, the parents, the relatives, they were dressed well. The mothers were beautiful. Fathers and uncles were handsome. And Kay, she had on a dress. She was like, should I wear this? You know, she had a couple options. And I was like, yeah, you look gorgeous.
I can't
go ahead and rock
it. I can't wear this.
I was like, do it. She's like, no. I was like, listen, you got to show up. You got to show out. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Kay got on the red carpet and shut the scene down.
There was a red alert.
There was a red alert on the red carpet.
Trending national.
You guys were
so trending.
Ridiculous.
The cops were brought in.
The cops, the wee, wee, wee. It was all the fans.
The National Guard.
All the fans were just going nuts. And then the players would come over and do our interview. And it's funny because, you know, we talk to the players, and I like to watch everybody's body language. I see everything. There's nothing that doesn't pass my eye.
Did you see mine and how mortified I was?
Yeah,
yes,
you were.
And you,
she had
you
the
were,
timid body language.
And were you good to me? No, you were awful to
what?
Me.
What?
No. Yes,
go
you
on,
were.
Nate. Go on. Do tell.
Do tell. Do tell. And what, and what happened, the players would get on. As a receiver, I watch everybody's movements. So as soon as a DB starts lining up from 8 yards back, I look at his helmet all the way down to his shoes, and I see everything he does because I can find a weakness in there. And I look at his eyes. And the thing about these young rooks is they had wondering eyes, and they weren't wondering in the crowd. Kay was still in shock. They almost had to refocus themselves because
they forgot it was draft night?
They forgot it was draft
huh?
night.
Where
so
am I?
What? So I say all that to say it's
line
not
side
to,
blitz.
Not to embarrass Kay, but to say that
hot
she
read.
Did look gorgeous, and she did shut down the whole red carpet, and you looked great.
Okay, you looked amazing.
Yeah.
And
you did.
And I'll say this.
You did. You did a great job up there.
On Friday morning, I do a winners and losers column of the draft. I only had one winner, and I had no losers.
Yeah.
Okay, you looked incredible. And Twitter.
The losers were everybody.
Twitter
was
went crazy.
Twitter
went nuts. I didn't see Twitter until the next day.
Yeah. Like Trubisky wasn't trending. You were. Who designed the dress? Give us some info.
Everyone was trying
like
to trade up for Kay.
An $80 dress I got online.
Rent
I did
the
not
runway?
Want,
what'd
yeah,
you have?
Basically, it looked almost great. Like that. It was so cheap, and I was so mortified to wear it. And Nate was like, rock it. And I say that
Nate
you were awful to me the entire night because you pick
I,
up
I would
and
just say
pray
stuff to make
on,
her uncomfortable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was already a million times uncomfortable. And
she tried to get her to break character, but she held in there. She did a good job interviewing
the
young guys.
We didn't ask about the hat.
Yeah, we didn't ask about the hat. It was a couple of young guys. But Kay's like, because we're complimenting all these young guys. Like, hey, you look good. I'm like, oh, that's a nice blazer. Kay's like, yeah, I'm digging the shoes. And the guy's like, hey, you look good too. I'm like, hey, take it easy, man. Relax, all right? Let's get along with the interview.
Yeah, your
mother's
here.
Let's talk about our trip down there. Let's talk about our trip down from New York to Philly. What were our favorite moments, guys?
Well, the red carpet to start.
I went to every cheesesteak place in the entire city, if not state,
I think.
And
they knew you.
Are you gonna break this down?
Sure. I'll do it. I mean, you know what the problem is?
I know what the problem is. You told me the problem.
The problem is the one that I did not like at all.
Was a place that
liked
you.
Us a lot. Yeah. So I don't want to do them like that. And it was one of the famous ones. But the second I walked up, they start screaming at me, Kyle, Good Morning Football, where's Kay, where's Nate, all that.
Was
give me free
T-shirts.
Was there
a big difference in the cheesesteaks, or were they like neck and neck?
No. The one that's in
really?
The bottom one is like the difference between the Patriots and the Browns. Like, it was a huge difference. It really was. But there's one of them. I can't talk. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay,
I brought
it
up, and I can't.
Well, just tell me what you got in it. I know the basic ingredients.
Whiz-wit. Whiz-wit
so
is the classic order.
Is that with the,
okay,
the cheese whiz?
Cheese whiz means the cheese whiz, and then wit means with onions. So you go whiz-wit, and there's a whole way of doing
like
this.
Hot nacho cheese.
Yeah. Okay. It's like
the other way is American.
You can get American, but there's this whole stress when you walk up to the counter.
Order now.
Yeah, because you first order now, but also like you want to order cool. Like you don't want to say like, "Can I have a cheesesteak sandwich?" Like you just all you want to walk
I have
up
the
and
cheese
say,
whiz on there.
You walk up and they say next, and you go whiz wit. Two syllables.
That's it.
That's all you say. And that's how I did it. And I was kind of nervous, and I give them my money,
it's
and
like
they
the
stand
soup
aside.
Nazi.
Yep.
It's just like that. And you look in your basket. Did I get bread? No. You say whiz wit, and then that makes you seem like maybe you know what you're doing. So I nailed it 4 times out of 4. And I think the best one I had was Jim's. I'll say that.
Explain Jim's. What's on it. What'd you put? Because I would put marinara sauce on mine, which is a different.
Ooh.
It's
like
a Jersey
deal.
Thing. It's a Jersey thing.
No, whiz wit. It's
a pizza steak.
It's the bun.
It.
It's the steak. Really? It's the cheese whiz, like liquid. Pump cheese and then onions. That's
There's
it.
No
onions.
Cream okay. cheese on the sandwich?
No, I don't think unless
you
get
add
it.
Like mayonnaise and mustard? Or?
No, nothing like that. No, it's just dripping in cheese whiz.
And
like you don't need any liquid.
One more
at all.
Question because, okay, so I didn't have one all weekend. And in the trailer before day two, it was Mariucci, myself, Billick, and Chris Rose. Mm-hmm. And they brought in fresh cheesesteaks from one of the places, one of the hot spots. And I'm looking around because I'm the rookie on this thing. I've never done NFL draft coverage, and it's never been in Chicago and Philly. So I'm looking around, and Billick is kind of like straying from it. Mariucci's not going for it. Rose is not doing it. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. And I thought about it in my head, and I'm like, I'm going to be on TV for the next 8 hours. The last thing I want is a cheesesteak to be the first thing I eat.
Bad.
Were you feeling it after you eat them? Like, is there regret when you have a cheesesteak? Because you have four of them in a weekend.
Is this
like
an anti-acid commercial?
I would be in self-loathing. I would be sitting in the corner crying.
Did you really eat two whole ones back to back? Or like take a couple bites of one, bites of the other.
I'm not gonna lie.
Malox.
I would probably like to say for my appearances that I like ate half of each. I ate two whole ones back to back. I'm a stress eater. It's a problem I have. Like when I get stressed, some people they smoke, they drink.
This got
eat.
Real serious.
I eat when I get stressed. I eat. So I go to Pat's.
Why were you stressed? We had such a great
concerned
show.
Concerned about you, man.
Just like always.
It's such a good show.
I know, it's a great show. I just like the next day. What are we gonna do?
This is the therapist couch. Go on.
Yeah. So I go to Pat's. And that's the first thing I can go past. And
like,
by the way,
I'm thinking cold meat sweats in the back. I don't want that.
The meat sweats aren't a problem of mine. It's the normal sweats.
So what did you eat before the draft?
Yeah. Don't get me started on the dairy either.
Carrots.
Peter.
Like, I'm trying to be light on my toes.
The mini Snickers they
have
in there?
Yeah. Like, stuff in my mouth with that.
I go to Pat's, and a friend of the show, Imani Toomer, is sitting right there.
Really?
No
yes.
Way.
What's
Imani
he doing
Toomer's
there?
He's there. He's doing media or something like that. And Imani Toomer looks amazing. He's got the genetics in his favor. He doesn't mind at all.
He always looks great.
So handsome.
And I have a feeling he wasn't impressed either. We have a thing on the show about Imani's not impressed. He's come on twice. And we showed him the Julian Edelman Super Bowl catch, and we were like, isn't it incredible? And he's like, it was kind of lucky, right place, right time. So I don't think he was that impressed with the sandwich either, but I have the Pats, and I put the whole thing down, and it's delicious. Yeah. Absolutely great. You ever have one of those things where you're like, God, I wish I had three of these?
Yes.
Like, I ate that thing in 2 seconds. And then the problem is, 50 feet away is Geno's. It's right there. The two most popular ones are next door to each other.
How much do these things cost?
$10. Same exact price. $10.
No fries, no drink.
They never got
no
into like
fries,
a price gouging thing. No like drink. We're $9.
It's a weird thing. It's the same service, same price, same setup, everything. $10.
Were they equally as packed?
Yeah, it was even, but that was my problem though, Nate. I'm like, well, I just had the Pats and I ate that in 2 seconds. The Geno's is right there. Can't really say I've been a Philly if I haven't gone to the Geno's. So I went to the Geno's too, and I put that down. So it was a disgusting moment of binge eating, and I was like stressed about it.
I'm proud of you, man. That's a feat right there.
But what you guys don't know is that to burn it off, I ran from Philly home to New York. So that's what I did. I burned it all off.
That makes sense.
We were having cocktails in the airport. Where were the airport?
The train station. But then I left. Yeah. Did you see me get on the train? No, I took off.
But were they delicious?
They were unbelievable. It's meat, hot meat and cheese and dairy. It's disgusting slop.
Hot meat
do people
and
who
cheese
live in Philly do that regularly? No, they can't.
I don't know. I think maybe there are local places. I don't think they go to Pat and Geno's. I think there's like JB Kritz, our producer, was telling me, no, you got to go to Steve's, the Prince of Steaks. That's why I went there too.
The Prince, not the King.
No, there's a Prince of Steaks. Okay. And some people say the Prince can't wait
to be
King.
I heard a lot about the Prince.
The Prince, I think, should be king.
Some people say
that. Yeah, it's the Simba.
Good?
It's incredible.
Was that from
some people say?
Is that Lion King?
I know everybody loves the Lion King.
Some people say the Prince can't wait to be king. Where does that come from?
I don't know. Hakuna Matata. It's a wonderful phrase.
How long are you waiting in line?
Nothing. Like it was super fast. It's just Whiz-Wit sandwich money.
You got a t-shirt out of it?
I did get a t-shirt. Yeah, I'm not going to say where the t-shirt's from because they recognize me. And the guy ran down the street when I left and said, Kyle, please take this t-shirt. Talk about us on the show. I did take the t-shirt, but I haven't talked about it on the show because I don't fit in the t-shirt anymore. Anyway, I'm going to start a new program.
My draft memory, I'm going to transition.
So please do.
I thought it was really cool that we had all this buildup weeks and weeks and weeks. I was actually, after the Super Bowl, I think all of us kind of looked at each other like, holy crap, we got to do the show 5 days a week and we don't have football to talk about. And the Combine really lifted us. We had something a target there, and then the owners' meetings was something cool. Free agency was something cool. Suddenly, the draft became almost like our mini Super Bowl, right? Like because we were building towards this thing, and it finally came. And there was so much speculation with mock drafts, and we had all the prospects in. There was this wonderful buildup, and then the second overall pick. It was cool to watch it play out that Trubisky goes second to a team that already had a quarterback that no one projected him to. There was a trade, and like our text chain during it because you guys are coming back from the red carpet still. Kyle's the diehard Bears fan watching at the draft. I'm back in my hotel room preparing for the next day in the morning show, like trying to get all my stuff together. And this trade goes down, and I really felt like the earth shook. And it just shows why the NFL is the ultimate reality show. As much speculation, as much as we break it down, as much as we think we know what we're talking about, not one person I know had Mitch Trubisky going to the Chicago
Bears.
Were
you so pissed when that happened?
No, not at all.
On your mock draft? But you take pride in your mock draft.
But what
being,
I take
right?
pride in is that in late December, early January, I rode the Trubisky train, right? Mm-hmm. So I was, and not that I was rooting for the kid, but I was being told I'm an idiot. Watson's going before Trubisky. And I said, this guy, and I stuck to it. I said, he's going to be a top two pick. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to go to the Browns or the Niners. And then at the end, I was like, all right, the Browns will trade back to the top five. But he did go number two overall, and it creates a very interesting situation. But just the reality show aspect of it and bringing it on a micro level to our show, how fun we had building up all these prospects and all the scenarios, and that was one we never considered. And that's, to me, the beauty of the NFL draft.
There's a sound. There's a sound I'll never forget. Being at the draft, I was there for about a half hour, 45 minutes before the first pick. And it's just raucous. The Roman Coliseum, rock concert, everything. Thousands and thousands of fans. And it seemed like it was about 85% Eagles fans. So as they're running all their video pre-production and people are coming out, they scream at all the Eagles stuff. They go nuts. Or if it's Cowboys stuff, they boo. All the crowd really reacted to was stuff tied to the Eagles. But when the second pick came up and Goodell said Mitchell Trubisky to the Bears,
they went nuts.
I'll never forget that sound because it was like, oh, like it was like they were at the Garden and somebody got knocked out in the first round. Like everyone, it was a sound of
like
pure
shock and all. Yeah.
They had no attachment to the Bears, no attachment to Trubisky. It wasn't a Cowboys thing, Eagles thing, Redskins. It was just shock
was
from
genuine.
The crowd. So genuine. And I made the same sound myself. Yeah. It was like a shot to the stomach because it was so unforeseen and so visceral the rest of Mitchell Trubisky's career, whether he burns out as a Hall of Famer, I'll never forget that sound
in Philadelphia. I didn't have low expectations going to the draft because I've been to the draft. I've worked the draft, Radio City Music Hall, when they did have a red carpet. I remember when, Deion Sanders was like the alter ego?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they had his hair and everything.
Leon Sandcastle.
Leon Sandcastle.
And he was out there interviewing the prospects, and I got to cover it the whole week here in New York, so I went with them when they went to the community service.
Play 60.
And I got to know these guys, and I knew it was this huge deal. Blew me away. Philadelphia blew me away. You guys went and saw the set before I did. And when we had dinner that night, I wasn't going to see the set till right before our first show. You guys were like, wait. Just wait till you see it. I'm like, guys, you guys are overselling this thing. Yeah. Like, stop. You guys just are not. Like, just stop. And seeing it and the people and how it was. Even talking to Courtney while we were still in New York and she's out there setting the scene. I'm like, yeah, it's great. It's awesome. You get down there. Football is king, and it's unbelievable every second of the way. It was exhilarating.
Awesome moment. My moment for me was not just seeing the set, which I was blown away by. I turned around and Nate's behind me, and Nate was blown away by. Now, yeah. Nate, you've played in Lambeau Field. You played up in Seattle. You've seen you get it.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that look on your face before. You know, you were very impressed, and I don't see that look on your face often.
Yeah, no, I was blown away by how fast they were putting it together, and they still had so much to go because we were making jokes about it, saying, wait, we have a show in the morning.
9 hours.
And they're still building stairs that we're supposed to walk on. And I think why my mouth almost hit the floor was because I realized that beginning of draft coverage on draft day, we're going to be the first faces people see. And I think that kind of hit me at a different place, like a more sentimental place. Like, man, it's an honor in a sense.
Life moment.
You know, for a guy who didn't walk the red carpet and didn't get called in the first round, like in so many ways, I kind of convinced myself like this is my moment too. Like I still get to live it, which is why dreams come true. And I oftentimes tell young guys who are considering leaving football and going into media is that at some point somebody will put a ceiling on your career, whether it's you, your production, whether it's coaching staff, whether it's injuries, or it's just fate in general. I knew I wasn't going to win a Super Bowl at some point. I knew I wasn't going to be an all-time pro. I knew I wasn't going to be in the Hall of Fame. But in media, like I could be a Hall of Famer. Like I could go down as one of the best media personalities of all time if I put hard work into this business. And those are those moments that I'll remember. So I kind of like stamped it. When I saw it, I'm like, damn. Like I finally get to experience the draft. Because I didn't. I was sitting in my living room when I got drafted. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was shocked. Yeah, it was a pretty special moment for me.
So, player fans, what is it like for you, Peter? Because, like, not only Friday night are you up there on set, and you got to be with Mooch, and you got to be with Brian Billick and all those people. Like, what was that like? That was a new role for you.
Yeah. And I was
but
on
also,
the set.
Also, like, you're so in the weeds of, like, with these front offices, and, like, you know sort of what's going on, and you are so invested in it.
Yeah.
Working to put together a 7-round mock-up. Yeah. What is it like to see it pan
out? All right,
out?
Okay, great question, because now they're asking me to be on the draft coverage for NFL Network, a first for me, a career awesome watershed moment. You better deliver. You better have something. So I'm told I'm going to be on a pregame show for the draft at 4 p.m. So on Friday, day two. So I'm working the phones all day Friday so that I can offer something no one else has. Now look, Schefter's out there, Rappaport's out there, right. Glazer's out there, all these insiders. So I'm texting everyone in my phone. What do you got? Anything in it? And I came back, multiple teams that I heard from were calling up. This is on Thursday, I'm sorry. We're calling up to move up to that number two pick. So I come on the air first thing, 4:01 Eastern, and I don't think the NFL Network audience might know me in that role. I don't know if the NFL Network audience even knows who I am if they don't watch Good Morning Football. And I'm like,
it was really cool to see, man.
I'm like, the Niners are looking to trade back, but I have three different teams with top 12 picks who are going to try to trade up. We don't know if it's for Solomon Thomas or if it's for a quarterback. And I'm looking at Mooch, and I'm looking at Rose, and I'm looking at Billick on set, and Charles Davis. I'm like, And Chris Rose, to his credit as the host, continues to go to it. And, you know, we got Steve Weiss in San Francisco, and he comes to him, and he's like, Steve, we got Peter Schrager here saying that a top 10 team might be trading up. So then all of a sudden Twitter goes nuts because you start doing the team.
It's crazy.
Who's trading up? Is it the Jets? Is it the Browns? And I didn't just say a team. I said three teams. So it's suddenly all this widespread speculation. So the draft breaks out. And the Bears are the number three pick, and they traded up. So it warranted what I said.
Right.
It wasn't an empty.
It's a validation.
Hey, Kirk Cousins is being traded to the Saints tonight.
Right.
I'll just throw it out
it.
There. Nailed it. So I felt like that was cool. The other part was on day two.
That's fruits of your labor, man.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
You put in work.
Day two, I'm out there on the actual set during the draft, and I'm texting all these teams with second-round picks. Who do you like? Who do you got? And I think on Twitter I got criticized for, like, tipping picks because some of the picks were there before. I wasn't checking Twitter. I had information on each one of these teams and their draft boards, and I had put a lot of work into it. So
we can't even have a meal with you without you leaving on TV on the phone.
Talk to my wife, Erica.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
It's no way to live.
This is the season, though, right?
That's what I explained.
You are empowered right now. All these ex-players, all these fans, they can talk about the game all day. They don't have the intel that the insiders have. This is your time.
Shout out to Erica. We love you.
Yeah, shout out to
Erica. And Mel.
And Mel, my son. But it is true that, like, I'm texting throughout the – I'm sitting up there with Rose and Billick, and they're, you know, Mayock and DJ and all the – they go to Ian, he's got stuff, and they come to me, and it's like, all right, the Jaguars are on the clock. What are they going to do? And I'm like, I go to my sources. What do we got? They're going to go defense. They drafted Marcus Walker, defensive end. Here's what I've got on this guy. Here's what other teams have said about him. Here's why he's going here. And, yeah, Kay, you're right. It's like the one – weekend where I am like feeling like I've been building towards this, and it was really, really cool opportunity, and I was so humbled to be a part of it. And they went to us a few times, and it was cool to get texts from all of you guys, and it was cool to have that opportunity. I don't think I, as we always say with the Browns, I don't think I peed down my leg with the first pick, or I don't think I did a bad job. I hope they asked me back, but at the very end of it, I love the draft. Mm-hmm. So
it, I mean, shows that you love
it's
it.
So cool to me. Yeah. I like the draft more than I like the Super Bowl. Mm. I love the draft. And I thought this year's draft, especially with all the intrigue, and my final point on this draft before we move on, but the quarterbacks, I was pushing so hard on you guys in January and February because I hated the storyline that was being pushed by everyone else. And it's so microscopic, and it was so that there's no quarterbacks in this draft. It doesn't matter what you think. Like, honestly, like, saying there's no quarterbacks in this draft does no one a service. Everyone was saying there's not a single first-round quarterback in this draft.
Right.
I wouldn't take them if I'm the GM. I wouldn't do it if I was a scout. I've looked at all the classes. Next year's class is better. Who does that serve? The viewer at home wants to know about the quarterbacks.
Right.
So you might as well embrace it, because I promise you, two will go in the top 10. And in this year, three went in the top 12. And from day one, I said it at the combine when people want to talk about the offensive guards and the linebackers. No, the fans at home want to know about quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. That's just what it is. And as a draft analyst, I've done this a long time. I don't remember many years. The EJ Manuel year, the only one where a quarterback doesn't go in the top 10. So for that to be the storyline of the combine, I thought that was a giant – just it wasn't fair to the viewer, and it wasn't fair to the quarterbacks themselves.
You were the first one to come on our show and talk about DeShone Kizer. And as a guy who – doesn't start paying attention to these young guys until it gets closer to the draft. I didn't know much about this young man, which is why, to me, he's one of the more intriguing prospects going into the draft and now being on a team with the Browns. I'm thinking to myself, if he gets on the field, I almost want to see what he does more than any other QB.
Absolutely.
More than Mahomes, more than Watson, more than Trubisky. Because I almost feel like I know kind of what Trubisky's going to do. Maybe even Watson. Mahomes is a wild card, and I don't feel like he's going to play because they have Alex Smith. But Kizer could be a guy that finds himself playing on a team that desperately needs, like, some type of, like,
something
resurgence, you know? So for me, I don't know. You came in and talked about him. All of a sudden, now I'm looking, and I'm, like, fascinated with Kizer for some reason.
We really liked him at the table, too, when we got to meet him. Like, his presence is really something special.
He had that presidential quality. And I think, if, let's say just Kizer starts week one, or even maybe he starts week five. Like, the first drive of his career, if he leads it to a touchdown in Cleveland, they'll be worshiping him. Like, that, they want it so badly. We are all witnesses. Like, he'll be like, this is our savior. This is LeBron. Because they're so decimated and they're so poor. They're in the poorhouse. And, like, wow, this guy led us to a touchdown. This could be the future. They want it so badly. So you're right. There's stakes there that's nowhere else.
So what I thought was cool was the night before the draft, and we didn't really say it on air. We mentioned it briefly. We were at a table with the production crew from Good Morning Football, probably a dozen of us, and we're preparing our show for Thursday morning. And literally two seats away at the next table is DeShone Watson with his whole family. And I look at Nate and I'm like, that's DeShone Watson. He's like, oh, snap, it is. Like, and then in a back room, Mitchell Trubisky was hanging with his family. They were all in the same restaurant the night before the draft. And you think about the different roles that we play, minor. And then you think about the roles that they play in the draft, major. And then you think about all the different front offices in all their respective cities the night before the draft.
It's crazy.
And no one knows. They're all, everything's at stake. No one knows anything about how it's going to end in 24 hours. That was a cool moment.
It's pretty cool. They recognize us, too.
What was it like in that, where were you? That hall. Was
oh,
it
that
museum?
Franklin Institute.
Yeah. Was it quiet? Was
quiet.
It was.
It's where all the team representatives were submitting the picks. But yeah, it didn't have the same energy.
So who gets to be in there? Just people from the front office?
No. Yeah. They. Well, that's there could be a 30 for 30 or a football life on that. Every team picks a person to go there. And Brian Billick, I don't want to steal his thunder here, but he told me a story. It can come from any angle. So it can be the son of, you know, of a season ticket holder. Or it could
curious.
Be the son of the accountant. Brian Billick told me that one time a team, I don't remember which team it was, sent someone. And he asked, like, well, who'd you guys send? And they said it was the gynecologist for the wife of the owner. And
he wanted to
go to the draft, so they let him be the one sitting there picking up the phone and handing in the card.
Wow. How about that?
What is an insane story.
There was a fun game within a game watching you and your draft coverage, because you did so well and you presented yourself so well, but
you know
what? So you're watching, you're like, let's say team A is on the clock, whoever they may be, they're on the clock. Peter, what do you think here? And Peter will be like, you know, I have a feeling they might go linebacker.
It was like,
sure enough,
it was
we
hilarious.
Take a linebacker. I mean, Peter,
because
you
I'm texting the front office.
You would say that it would be. I saw it too. I think I texted right. Kyle. I was like, right. Wow, he's literally picking lottery numbers that are hitting.
It
but
was,
but
awesome.
It wasn't like.
I know, but when you
know
have,
when they do that lottery,
oh, the Rams are on the clock. Yeah. There's a tight end on the board. You know, and before the like, it says the pick is in. Before they go to the pick, it's Peter saying, you know, Sean McVay was the tight end's coach. I wouldn't be surprised if he took a tight end here. The Rams take
like
a tight end.
It was,
oh, my God.
Watching
Peter.
It for us was the best.
Was it cringeworthy?
No,
or
it was so fun.
It was knowing behind the scenes
you
how
know
the movie
it wasn't
is.
Because I got a lot of – okay, because the picks go in, and there are people who get the picks before. I don't even know how that goes down. And I was hearing it from Twitter, like, dude, stop. It's not
no,
brain
I'm
surgery.
Right. Sorry for being right.
You saw it on Twitter. I'm like, no, I didn't. Like, I'm getting a text from the people making the decision, being like, we're going to take him. So
you weren't saying the names of the players.
I was saying the positions.
Were like, you were legitimately like teeing them up to knock it out of the park.
I know. It was an awkward dance, and I could have done it week. The first night, too, but I was staying off Twitter, and I wasn't on TV the first night, but...
You hate Twitter. The one thing you told me about the draft, you were like, I hate
Twitter
with
don't
the draft.
Don't watch Twitter.
Don't do it. Just,
what's the value? You see some schlub tweet it because he got it from a beat report. Like,
the
what's the value?
You told me, he's like, promise me you won't be looking
right.
at your phone.
Don't do it. And Peter, don't get in your head about it. Like, we just know you differently, and we know your background. If you're watching at home, you're like, wow, Schrager is nailing these. He must really be on
Hell
top of the
yes.
stuff. That's what it looked like.
We were proud.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I just hope I didn't ruin the suspense of the draft.
No,
or
come on.
It's not about me, right? So I'm there, and if I'm like, hey, they're going to take a tight end, because in my phone it says Gerald Everett tight end from a source at another team or whatever.
You're even saying they're going to take a tight end. You're like, I'm seeing
the
tight end.
I know, I
didn't
know how to do it.
So I feel like we've sat here in this very room doing this podcast leading up to the draft, and it was all about McCaffrey. And now he's with Carolina. Anybody want to, you know, bring it full circle, Kyle?
This is pretty cool. I mean,
it's really you and Nate leading the charge.
It's two things. I like that he is lining up next to Cam, because Cam is, I think there's about five rock stars in the league. It's Antonio Brown, Von Miller, Cam, Odell. Like, those are one of the guys. So I like that he's lining up to him, because there's a lot of lights on Cam, and I want as much publicity for Christian McCaffrey, succeed or fail, as possible.
It's a great call.
Yeah.
I wish he was going to like a huge market team. I wish he was going to Dallas or New York, because you know, the Panthers are great because of Cam, but they are still small market. Like, I want him to be a superstar. And to be a superstar in Carolina, like, you have to be Cam. Like, you have to be a Heisman Trophy winning MVP. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But the offense is really cool. We talked about it a lot on the show today. For places he could have ended up, you know, different teams that are way less sexy, I'm happy with it. Just because of who his next-door neighbor is in the backfield is exciting.
I said he'll have more catches than Kelvin Benjamin.
That was a bold
take. Right. That's a bold prediction, and it might come true. I mean, we talked about Kelvin Benjamin and him gaining weight. He could be a guy that becomes the most consistent target for Cam Newton.
I saw him.
But you're right about Cam Newton. He is Michael Jackson, and everybody else is just part of the Jackson 5. But what we do know is McCaffrey's so talented. He's that background dancer that you start paying attention to. You're like,
oh yeah.
You're like, wait a minute. You know, he's like Justin Timberlake at NSYNC. You're like, is this guy about to go solo?
Right.
If he goes solo, he could be a superstar.
It's like J-Lo in Living Color.
That's it.
Right?
Like, she's the part of the Fly Girls. And all of a sudden,
she's Capri.
Yeah, she's doing movies. But
yeah.
I think that's the same thing with McCaffrey and then Curtis Samuel. I don't know. For some reason, those two guys, and we had Curtis Samuel on the show, I just like the fact that he scored more than a handful of touchdowns receiving, scored more than a handful of touchdowns in the rushing game, and he came on confidently, just said, I'm a baller. He wasn't trying to brag. He wasn't even polished. He was just like
– He was not polished.
He was like, I'm a baller.
I liked it.
And it was so raw.
He's one of my favorite guys
you
talked to.
It was so raw that I just thought to myself, this dude's not lying.
Like, he's from Brooklyn, Nate.
He's from Brooklyn, and Brooklyn people, they speak from their heart.
Yes.
And I love the fact that he came out there and said it. And now you add him to a team that has Cam – They have a couple of wide receivers.
Greg Olsen.
Jonathan Stewart,
Luke
who's a bruiser.
Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis. Those guys matter.
The greatest thing for McCaffrey and now Curtis Samuel is that they don't need to go in between the tackles. Like, you know Jonathan Stewart can do that. You know, he's going to put his nose down, get you four or five tough yards, run through some iron tackles. And then you put the young boys in. Can you imagine if they line up all the receivers, right, with Greg Olsen split out, Kelvin Benjamin split out, Funch is in the slot. So now you got like 6'5 across the board of wide receiver, and then you put Christian McCaffrey, Curtis Samuel in the backfield.
Who are you going to cover?
What are you doing as a defense? Like, pick your poison. So,
and Cam, who's an off, who can run.
I forgot about Cam.
Imagine Carolina versus Atlanta. Yeah.
Put him in the pistol. Now he's sitting there with his foot up, getting a shotgun snap. What are you going to do? You have to pick your poison. And if you teach these young guys, like – McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel, like, you guys are unstoppable. Just, like, feed into them. You know what I'm saying? Like, the corner men for every boxer. You guys are unstoppable. They'll go out there and torch some of these, like, third and fourth tier DBs that's going to be guarding
them. So Cam had the worst completion percentage of any quarterback last season. Where does he end up after this? Is he bounced back, like, Super Bowl bound?
Remember, he's coming off shoulder surgery.
Yeah, I just don't – I don't know what to expect from
Cam. You know what, Kay? I believe that this draft speaks to exactly what you just said. They didn't go out and go get – Corey Davis. They didn't go get, you know, Mike
Jamal
Williams.
Adams.
They didn't go get, they didn't go get, you know, big time stars. They got small pieces that can help him with the intermediate game. You said it on the show. Like, now think about Cam dropping back and having to deliver balls to his wide receivers. Oh, they're not open. Let me give Jonathan Stewart, who isn't the best route runner. I mean, he's a hard nosed running back, but he's not the best route runner. Now you give him two options of guys that are constantly in the flat, constantly right in front of him, running those angle routes. That could help him. But you got to, I think, they got to hit the reset. Cam has to hit the reset and say, you know what, Cam? You don't have to win the game with your arm. You can dump it down and check down majority of the game, and we'll still win.
Can I give Kelvin, really quick, if
Kelvin Benjamin is 275 pounds, are you mad at him, Nate?
Hell yeah.
What's your thought on that?
Yeah. I play with Josh Gordon.
This could be like a whole offseason story,
I imagine. And he told me, he said, man, I'm overweight. And I was mad at him when he told me that. And I was playing with him every day. I was like, why would you get overweight? I mean, you just came off one of the best seasons in your career. Why would you give anybody else the advantage? So, Kelvin Benjamin, coming off that knee, all that weight on that knee that's still trying to rehab, if he's overweight and that much overweight, he's not going to have the season he's supposed to. Because if you're spending time losing weight this offseason, how are you spending time gaining strength? You can't do both of them. You know what I'm saying?
He's not the only KB that's 275, guys. I got news for you. There's another one right here at this table.
I got my takeaway on it was this, that the NFC South is usually like the second or third Fox game. Usually you have the NFC East big game, like Cowboys, Redskins, and then you'll get like that. The NFC South is cool now because the Panthers are rebuilding with all these guys, right? The Saints added Kamara and Adrian Peterson and Marshawn Lattimore. And the Buccaneers we just gushed over for an hour and a half. So you have all three of those teams. And then,
Atlanta.
The Atlanta Falcons, who are returning everybody. So to me, the NFC South gets interesting. Now, we got a tweet during the show. I'm going to read this because I think this is fascinating. Carolina Panther related. Okay, what if they go with Derek Anderson as quarterback, all right? And then in the backfield, they put McCaffrey, Cam Newton, and Curtis Samuel.
Oh, man.
All right? And then you've got Joe Webb, who played quarterback in college.
Yeah.
You put him in the slot.
Fantasy football.
And this is what it is. I mean, you don't know where. They have so many weapons. You imagine putting Cam out wide? You can do it.
6'5". He's really fast and strong.
You can do it. And you've got McCaffrey. I mean, the Panthers, to me, they play the – play the 49ers week one. It's a nothing game.
That's crazy.
You might say, like, all right, whatever. The Panthers, 49ers.
No, I want to see Reuben Foster.
Reuben Foster, Solomon Thomas.
Yeah. No, I want to see
Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. John Lynch,
that.
GM. Kyle Shanahan.
I want to see how Kyle Shanahan calls that game. I want to see that game.
Uh-huh. Right? And is that not a great game week one?
You know what I love about these new coaches, new places, new faces?
Are you working that game, Peter?
I hope so.
Some of these
Allman,
games.
Put him on it.
Some of these games that, like, on the roster last year, we'd have been like, we're passing up. Like last year.
Yeah.
Panthers were so bad. The 49ers were so bad. Once you hear that game, you'd be like, I'll see what happens in the highlights.
Flex it out.
But now,
draft,
week one,
free agency.
I'm going to be paying attention to that game.
Oh, yeah.
We should give some love to John Lynch, huh?
Great
before
draft.
He did in the draft.
It's incredible.
Like, is he getting too much love? No, just
what's
enough,
his nickname?
Right?
It's a first-timer. I mean, just what he did up top with 2 and 3 and then like.
I'm seeing a lot of first-timers luck. I'm like, shut up.
Oh, really? Yeah, those people are idiots then. John Lynch is an American hero. As far as
American?
Yeah.
He said on Rich Eisen's show yesterday that they were debating. They were having a real internal debate in the room. And we're going to ask our guest tomorrow on the show about it. But do we go with Solomon Thomas or Reuben Foster? And it was like a come-to-Jesus moment.
Yes.
Like, what do we do at number three? And they took Solomon Thomas, and then when Reuben Foster was, they were like, we just have to. And they traded up to get him, so they got
That's
both their
crazy.
Guys.
Yeah. It's just this thing, like, Lynch was so cool as a player. Like, you wanted to be John Lynch. The way he played, just so violent and ferocious, but it's also, like, such a gentleman.
Classy.
So in control, always in the right place. Never was out of place or out of control.
Yeah.
Which is, like, perfect for getting ready for the draft. Yes. Like, he wasn't out of place, wasn't out of control.
Isn't that funny?
Just, like, took a gentleman's, like, hey, I got a deal for you. Look in your eyes, and you're like, oh, it is a good deal. But then you walk away, and be like, that was a bad deal for me.
Bad.
John just won.
You ever go down a YouTube wormhole, watch John Lynch highlights on YouTube? Oh, my gosh. Those, like, those
right
snot
place,
bubbles
right
that you're
tape.
Rolling. That's what he did to the Bears
in
the draft.
What was the video, the VHS cassette? They had NFL hits.
The NFL blitz.
NFL rocks.
NFL rocks.
He gave them
like
snot
Bon Jovi
bubbles.
Songs. Yeah, he did. Snot bubbles. The
him
Bears.
And Steve Atwater.
I will go
yes.
down that YouTube wormhole.
You should.
It's so fun.
Atwater.
It doesn't even look like the game right now. You're like, wow, they let that happen on the Chuck, field. There's no flag?
Remember Chuck Cecil?
Of course, Chuck Cecil. Here, bam!
Who's this guest we're having this week?
So we're hoping it happens, but it looks like on Wednesday, yeah, we're going to have Jed York, the president, owner, CEO of the 49ers. He doesn't do any media. He's a fan of the show.
He watches, yeah.
He texted me that he's going to be in New York City. Let's do it, and we'll see how it goes. I've never seen him do like a fun, lighthearted interview. Look, this is a guy that went head-to-head with Jim Harbaugh and won. Or lost if you talk to others and say that it was worse. I mean, he is public enemy number one for some people, and other people love him. So he's coming on our show. Our show's a different element than maybe necessarily NFL Live.
I'm so excited. I met him at NFL Honors.
I want to have fun with him. I want to have fun with him. I think he's down to play. So we'll see how it goes on Wednesday's show.
I had a Jed York moment way back the early of the show when I realized that the show matters and people watch. It was when August, I think it was preseason, and I was doing these helter-skelter segments about, you know, the top five Hollywood receivers, top five Hollywood quarterbacks, and it was like Joe Kane and Johnny Utah, and we do our thing. It's funny, whatever, preseason. And then there's a tweet from
about
Jed
York. About as journalistic
York.
As a red carpet,
yeah,
if you will.
Really, uh-huh. Exactly, okay? You're onto something there. We get a tweet from Jed York retweeting the segment and with jokes about Johnny Utah playing at Ohio State, and I was like, okay, so that's a billionaire owner who watched that ridiculous segment that we did. This show matters. He's watching. And he came off pretty cool in the tweet, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
So he'll be on May 3rd, and then May 4th is something that you want to tell us about.
Yeah. May 4th.
Fill me and Nate in.
May the 4th be with you. All right? It's
I'm cringing at the mere thought, but
I'm
go
glad.
On.
That's perfect. Yeah. It's National Star Wars
I'm not
Day,
a nerd.
And not in the sense where it's, you know, National Upside Down Pineapple Cake Day or whatever the heck things we'd laugh about on the show. It's almost like a national holiday on the internet. The whole Star Wars world, which goes millions deep, it's their Christmas. May the 4th be with you.
Okay.
So I'm thinking on the
what
show.
What do people, how do they celebrate it? By just saying,
they dress
just
up, they go to
that
conventions.
Hashtag?
Yeah, probably so, okay. Yeah. But there's huge parties and conventions all over the world, really. It's a big deal, even abroad.
Really?
It is, yeah. It's massive. Okay. It became a big... I became aware of it maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
What about in Tatooine?
Tatooine, yes. Yeah. Luke's home planet. Yeah. Exactly. Peter, see, look. So I'm thinking we have something...
A lot of sad things happened on Tatooine.
Terrible things. I mean, you don't want to go to Tatooine.
Unspeakable. Right?
So like Sodom and Gomorrah, what do you got down there?
Yeah, just bad things. Aunt Beru, Uncle Owen, you'll know about it, Peter.
Uncle Owen.
I'm thinking, though, that since we have a well-developed thing here, both on the podcast and the show, that Peter has never seen a Star Wars movie.
Peter loves that he's never seen a Star Wars
loves
movie.
Loves
pride in it.
I'm thinking maybe we use something with that. Now, are you aware that there's a real group of people that call themselves the Jedi Order? And this is people who belong to, like, the Church of the Jedi, and they walk around in robes, and they really believe it's a thing.
I believe it.
They have meetings. They think it's not a joke. I'm thinking if we found one of those dudes who wears the robe and carries around a fake lightsaber or whatever and pitted him against Schrager in this sense, Schrager gets all very easy Star Wars questions, and the Jedi guy, who we vet, it's all very easy football questions,
okay.
NFL questions, and it's sort of like a nerd bowl, except you do the Star Wars, he does the NFL.
I love it.
And the NFL questions would be like, you know, which of the following is not an NFL team? The Packers, the Cowboys,
okay, but it
or
can't
the...
be called nerd bowl because
no,
this is so
different.
Beyond nerd.
Something different.
This guy is so beyond
the
nerd.
The geek bowl?
Yes. I don't know what it'd be called. I haven't
what's
gotten
the,
that yet.
What's the most, to the eighth factor?
Do you know the any... Do you know these people? Any of these people?
I don't personally.
Kyle, do you know?
No, I don't. Listen, like.
Well, what if they take their craft or their things too seriously
yes,
to come out? That's what I'm thinking.
We have to
they
vet.
We would offend them.
We have to vet. We have to vet someone who's
is
into
there
it.
Is someone who maybe I would interact with on a daily basis in my normal life at our show, maybe a producer that is an expert on this stuff?
Justin Hawkins.
So maybe that's the play.
If we want to put Justin Hawkins on TV.
I don't know if he's a TV guy.
He has a Millennium Falcon tattoo on his bicep.
He does. But I think he knows football.
But he knows football.
He knows
that's
football.
That's the problem. You need someone who's way into it but couldn't name a single player ever on the
Titans. I think Hawkins
would
be great, actually, the more I'm thinking about it, because he has a very clever quip every time I say anything to him.
He does stand-up comedy.
Maybe Hawkins is the guy, but he better know his Star Wars, Kyle, because I think you tested him a few times, and there were like some holes in the
armor. He needs to know
his armor.
NFL, because he'll get the NFL questions. You get the Star Wars questions.
Sounds like a good backup plan if we cannot find a person from the Jedi Order.
I want someone in the robes. Like,
well,
full
Hawkins got that in the closet.
He probably does. So that's May 4th. Yes. Schrager, don't go studying.
We have a busy week.
I'm going to call in sick May 4th.
We've got May 4th, Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, May 5th.
Which I think we're celebrating as a group. May 4th. It's like our best holiday for sure. And I think we have people coming in making us guac and chips and salsa again on the show.
Yeah, that always works.
Standards.
I'm never going to argue that.
And then we have the Emmys next week, guys. Are we excited about
next
that?
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, I think.
Kay, yeah. Are you excited for that?
I for sure am.
Yeah, it is. Burleson, how about
you? I don't know what
you
expect. I've never been.
I am. I'm geeked up about it. I can't wait.
Now, I've been.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything
what's
we
in store
know?
For us?
My pointers.
There's a cocktail hour, I heard, that we have
the
to
cocktail
just
hour
really take to our advantage.
Is a, well, no. I'm telling you, you feel like you're at, what are those conventions where everyone's passing out business cards in the lobby? Like, it's every, yeah, it's every sports media bigwig in the industry, from on air to behind the scenes.
So we got to look good, Schrager. Yeah. We got to bring it.
And it is a hodgepodge.
Easy on
you
the guac.
You walk in there, you bump into Chris Collinsworth, you turn around and there's, you know, Doc Emrick, mm-hmm. and it's just nuts. That and then there's every agent and there's every producer. So look good, Kyle. No cheesesteaks that morning.
I know. Hello. Yeah, we're talking about guac the day before. No, I'm not.
The other thing is the Emmys happen, and I've heard like the Richard Deitches and like the awful announcings being like, oh, who cares? It's just it's a media hogwash. Like who. No, it's really cool. Like Brett Musburger is being honored, like for a lifetime achievement award.
Get out of here.
Vern Lundquist is there. Raft is there. Like all of your idols.
Uncle Vern is there.
Dick Vitale will be there. Like all the guys that you grew up watching. That there is no cynicism or sarcasm you can have if you actually love sports media, because they're all there. Now the awards themselves, that's cool. Like whoever wins it, people forget the next day. It's just the event itself to be invited is such a cool honor.
I hear there's an after party, so my recommendation is that we all wear our pajamas on that
Wednesday show.
Get a hotel. Okay. I mean, it's right here at Lincoln Center. We should maybe get a hotel situation for everyone here in Midtown and just go crazy.
I'm into
it. With it.
Win or lose.
You think we can win this thing?
I do. I honestly believe we can.
You think we can win it?
And I hope we win it.
Yeah,
I'm looking
I hope
forward
we
to
do too. Of course, I want to win.
I'm not kidding. I at first was like, oh, it's so cool to be on it. I want to win this so badly. Because I love our show.
Yeah.
I know how much work we put in it. And I feel like we still haven't made that big splash with the other national sports media shows that, like, if we won it, people would be like, huh, I got to check that show out. It would do a lot of – and if we don't, I hope Total Access wins or Rich Eisen wins. I just want the network to do well on
you
this.
You know, Mike Wilbon to win an award?
Yeah, I don't need Mike Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser to win another award.
To win another one? You know, one thing I do fear, though, about winning it, or I guess not winning it, is it's kind of like a rookie's first season being really good. Them saying, we'll hold off on the Pro Bowl till next year. Do it again, Rook.
Well, like Zeke?
Dak.
Zeke went, though. Yeah. You know, Dak went. I'm talking about sometimes guys have amazing years, and they're like, it's his first year. Let's give him time. Let's see if he can do it.
The wild card is this MLB Tonight show on the MLB Network, which I've never seen. I'm not a huge like MLB Network guy.
But it's really good.
Everyone says it's excellent.
It's really good.
It's excellent. And Chris Kirk worked on it, and a lot of guys go into
Secaucus. Chris
Kirk, are
they going to win the Emmy, or are we?
It's really good.
I don't know. It's going to be tight. They have – five, I think, for that show.
Yeah, they win every year. And it's like, if you're a baseball fan,
but
it
they're
is.
They're a good show, but you guys are. What Nate's saying.
We're a little different.
Yeah, Nate, MLB Network's first year, they did not win it. They then won it 3 years in a row.
Would it sort of like rock the establishment if we won? This young upstart beating these luminaries like Tony Kornheiser in Baseball Tonight? Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I think first year is a tough battle.
I want to win.
But I always call BS, like, these people at the Oscars on the red carpet, like, it's just an honor to be nominated. Like, shut up, Jude Law. Like, you want to win the award, or you have no competitor in you.
You hate red carpets. We get it.
I like it, Kyle.
Like anything else? Last thoughts?
No.
I would like to give a shout-out to Nate for being – you inspire me to be a better person, the way you handle people and fans.
Oh, go on, because I saw pictures.
Yeah,
it's cool.
A nice compliment.
So everyone sort of scatters on Saturday. You went to do something. We were going to go on the stage and hang out with
Scott
all the
Hansen.
Fans with Scott Hansen. And we're sitting there in the air-conditioned the trailer, right? Mm-hmm. And we're sitting there. We're, like, eating our body weight in Snickers and Kit Kats. And I need some air. So I leave and I go out and I see, like, the fans are lining up and there's, you know, a million fans from all different walks of life waiting in lines. It's so hot. And nobody even really notices me. A couple of people are like, KK, whatever. I'm, like, sort of hiding behind I'm like 30 feet away from them. And there were two Lions fans that were like, is Nate around? And I'm like, yeah, he's way back in the trailer. And then I think to myself, and I'm like, I know if I go get
he'll
Nate,
come out.
He'll come out here. And so I went in, and I didn't even have to ask Nate. I was like, Nate, come with me for a second. You're like, okay, let's go meet people. You had to spend 25 minutes. Oh, it had to be 30 minutes just taking every last picture with every last fan that wanted to, like, say anything to you or take photos. It is so amazing that you do that. Then we do the whole thing on the stage for an hour. You'd think we'd like want to run out there, yeah, get back to the hotel. Nate's taking pictures with every person he sees and comes up to him. I'm waiting. I'm sort of ushering him. I'm like trying to eye to him. Like, do you want me to grab you? Like, do you want me to say we have to go? And
rescue
you.
Like,
come in and be like, I have to go to the bathroom. We have to go. Yeah. Not, like, you were so great with everyone. And I think it's rare and amazing. So
appreciate
there you
it,
go.
Kay. Thank you. Means a lot. I find it hard to say no to, you know, genuine enthusiasm, especially when there's kids around. Like, it's a small moment for me. Yeah, I might be a little tired. I want to go somewhere. But for that kid, it's something he can remember forever. So,
you were like a rock star when you came outside. And I felt awesome. And then I got a bunch of tweets that were like, thanks, Kay, for bringing him outside.
Oh, yeah. But you did. You say that you're sometimes you want to go into your hole and be antisocial, but you're not like that, though. I mean, you stop and talk to everybody.
I just think you're like an 11-year NFL player that comes out and like is asking, like, getting to know people's first names. It's pretty awesome.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Anybody else have any last stories?
Draft was really fun.
Amazing.
I'm already upset that like there's nothing right around the corner until football season.
Live shows are the best.
Yeah, the best.
Like, I thought you were already making your mock draft for next year. The energy that I get out of a live show is unbelievable.
Me too.
Hall of Fame?
Nehemiah Burleson.
Ooh, for sure.
Hall of Fame? Is that our next target?
I'll go to Canton.
Cardinals and Cowboys fans, and the Cowboys fans will make that fun.
Kay had a great
idea. All the Cowboys people, because Jerry Jones is getting inducted. Right?
I also have a great idea.
Yes, she had a great idea.
What you got?
I want to do, I don't know if you guys are going to be down. Remember that trailer we had, nice one, the air-conditioned one?
You want
to
do a road trip, like an RV?
I want to do training camp.
No.
Why?
What do you mean? Peter, come on.
Kyle, why?
I'm in.
Why don't you want to do it? Have you ever done it with us?
No.
No, but we got to do it different. Think about
a
if they did
one.
It with cameras in the RV.
Find me day three when you're out in Georgetown, Kentucky doing Bengals training camp.
Tell I think we would have
okay,
so much
well,
fun.
Okay, let's just zip around. But like, you put the cameras inside the RV, you see what's going on while we're moving, and then we get on the ground and we set
just
up outside.
Just like lawn chairs.
As Steve it's like road rules, man.
Quick story. Steve,
road rules, you're right.
Steve Smith and I were talking, and he was saying that his daughter plays volleyball at a very competitive level, and I said, do you like get on the road and drive in the caravan? It's like, no, she goes there. I fly. That's what I'll say to this thing. You guys take the RV. I'll meet you there. I'll do the
all right, and the first interview you miss and the first fun moment, you'll be dying on that plane.
Stop tipping picks at the draft, Peter. Stop doing that.
If you guys think we should go on a training camp road trip, tweet us, #GMFB. Where can you download it, Nate?
Go to NFL.com/podcast. Also go to iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And also watch the show, 7 a.m. Eastern.
Georgetown, Kentucky. Google it.
Chattanooga, Tennessee. See you there. Bye.